Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining me right now, the senior editor for Roto World. You can read his trademark matchups column every Friday during the season, which is, thank God, almost here at rotoworld.com. And you can hear him every week on the Roto World football podcast. And that is Evan Silva. Evan, thank you very much for popping on today. How are you?
Thanks so much for having me, Evan.
All right, let's start here. All right, I'm trying to find, besides Saquon, let's put Saquon to the side because, you know, he's the next Jim Brown. He's going to be the greatest running back of all time. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to find that rookie running back that's going to make the second biggest impact after Saquon Barkley. And I want to say the guy is Kerryon Johnson, but I have Lion-itis because the Lions seem to never have the running game we think they may finally have. Let's start with him. Can he overcome Lion-itis, in your opinion?
I think he's got a shot. One aspect of Lion-itis, as you call it, is the fact that they have used multiple running backs. And that's the biggest concern for Kerryon Johnson right now because they have LeGarrette Blount. Is he going to be stealing goal line carries from Kerryon Johnson? They have Theo Riddick. Is he going to be stealing work in the passing game from Kerryon Johnson? And those are very, very valuable, ways to score points in fantasy, scoring touchdowns and catching passes. So that's your primary concern. Now, I really have liked how Kerryon Johnson has looked so far in the preseason. In the preseason opener, they gave him 40 snaps. It was like they were almost trying to test him. Can he be our workhorse? He played more snaps that week than any running back in the entire preseason. You don't see that very often from a second-round pick. I also like their offensive line. They're bringing back T.J. Lang, Rick Wagner. They drafted Frank Ragnow in the first round, and they're getting back their stud left tackle, Taylor Decker, who missed most of last season. So, you know, there are reasons to like Kerryon Johnson and reasons to be skeptical, and that's why he's not really high in the rankings, but he is a guy that I'm willing to take like in the sixth and seventh round.
What about Ronald Jones? Because I think we're all being scared off by the fact that they're saying down in Tampa, well, Peyton Barber's going to be the starter. And who knows, if he's the starter right out of the gate and plays well, that could hurt the chances of Ronald Jones finally stepping up. Are you nervous about the prospect of Ronald Jones right now?
Yeah, I don't think that we should be trying to draft Ronald Jones right now. I mean, first of all, he came out of USC, was overdrafted by the Buccaneers in the real-life draft. He's never caught passes, didn't catch passes in high school, didn't catch passes at USC. The Bucs running backs coach, Tim Spencer, was quoted today by a Bucs beat writer saying, you know, asked about Ronald Jones' struggles to catch the ball in training camp and in the preseason. And Tim Spencer said, well, you know, his struggles, I mean, you could probably, you know, that's probably why they didn't throw the ball to him at USC. You know, that's a real major red flag. And Peyton Barber is no, like, great shakes as a receiver, but he's so much better there than Ronald Jones. I think that Peyton Barber is going to open the season as, like, almost an every down back. Ronald Jones has started to fall behind Jacquizz Rodgers on the depth chart.
Wow. Gee, so you wouldn't even touch him then. How high would you draft Peyton Barber then, especially because he is going to be the guy right at the beginning and you said could turn into their bell cow?
Yeah, I mean, I think that he's in that sixth, seventh round range at this point too. And, you know, there was a long time where his ADP, his average draft position, was like 12th through 14th rounds. But, you know, as we get a clearer picture of how these teams envision these players and, you know, how they're being used, what groups are they running with in the preseason? Are they running with the ones? You know, Ronald Jones is not running with the ones. Jacquizz Rodgers is running with the ones more than Ronald Jones. I think that Peyton Barber is going to open the season averaging like 16 to 19 touches per game. Down the stretch last year, last five games, he averaged 18 touches per game. I don't think it's crazy to expect him to open the season doing that.
Actually, sticking with the same team, though a very different position, if you look last year at O.J. Howard, he wasn't targeted a lot, but when he was targeted, he was awesome. Should we expect to see those targets balloon up for O.J. Howard, or do you think it's going to be similar for him this year?
Yeah, he was incredible, as you say, in terms of his efficiency. I was just looking at this the other day, and over his final 27 targets of last season, he caught 21 of them for 325 yards and 5 touchdowns. Mm. That's crazy, crazy efficiency. I remember thinking last season, you know, as we were going through the progression of the season, he was playing a lot of snaps, but he wasn't getting targeted very often early in the year. And then the progression was that he was starting to get more and more work, and it looked like he was just going to explode down the stretch. But then he had an ankle injury, wound up not playing the final few games, so he didn't explode. It's going to come down to opportunity, and there are so many mouths there to feed. Mike Evans, Deshaun Jackson, Chris Godwin, Cameron Brate, Adam Humphries plays a big role in their offense. So I think he's going to be inconsistent. He's going to have some boom weeks because he's got crazy ability. But I think that he might need like another guy to get injured there, probably Cameron Brate, or the Bucs to just really drop Cameron Brate's playing time in order for O.J. Howard to truly break out.
And it's funny, they drafted O.J. Howard so high, it shouldn't be a situation like that with a guy you draft as high as O.J. Howard, where you basically need other guys to get hurt for him to be fed as much as talent-wise he should be fed.
Right. I mean, I think he's going to play a lot of snaps because they like him as a blocker.
Yeah, that's true. He's a very good blocker.
Yeah, and he was a great blocker at Alabama. So I think he's going to be out there a lot, but you're right. In terms of being like a featured weapon in the passing game, I think that he's gonna need to like catch a break somewhere along the line.
We're talking to Evan Silva, Roto World senior editor. The top four seems easy at the top of fantasy drafts with Gurley, David Johnson, Zeke, and Le'Veon Bell. And I guess people could debate internally where you rank those four guys. To me, Gurley's number one, and then the other three you could fight about. Is Saquon Barkley clearly that fifth guy? Is he on the outside of that top four? Where do you look at a guy who's never played a snap in the NFL, obviously, being a rookie? Where do you look at Saquon draft-wise?
Yeah, a lot of people point to that. He's never played a snap in the NFL. That doesn't bother me. I know he's good. Like, I've watched a ton of him at Penn State. I remember this argument was made against Ezekiel Elliott coming out of Ohio State. And was like, I mean, you obviously just didn't, you didn't watch him play at Ohio State. And, those people missed out on him. It is concerning, though, that he's got the hamstring injury right now. I know that they say that it's not significant. By the way, Ezekiel Elliott had a hamstring injury during his rookie training camp, too.
Right.
That is concerning right now. I have him outside of that first tier that you mentioned with David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, Ezekiel Elliott, and Todd Gurley. So I have him in the next tier with Alvin Kamara, Melvin Gordon, Leonard Fournette, and Kareem Hunt. So that's where I have him. I'm taking Alvin Kamara and Melvin Gordon ahead of Saquon Barkley, but I mean it's very, very close.
It's funny you mentioned Zeke's rookie year, because that was a couple of years ago and it felt similar, where Zeke was picked very, very high. Do you remember what his average draft position was his rookie year? Because it definitely felt in that same area where Saquon's about to be taken, right?
Yeah, I mean he was a top five. He was a top five running back that year.
Yeah. I mean, I think with running back, more than anything else, you feel good, even though the guy hasn't played. You know the talent, and you know the way a team's going to be run. I mean, you look at the Giants right now. Jonathan Stewart's not going to be stealing too many carries from him. Even Wayne Gallman isn't. And you just know that it's going to be a lot of checkdowns to him. He's going to catch the football. It just seems it's almost a lock. He's going to be a really productive fantasy player in his rookie year.
Yeah, just in terms of his usage, there are only there's a very small number of running backs that just don't come off the field.
Right,
and that's the case for Todd Gurley and Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson. Ezekiel Elliott is a little bit lower in terms of just pure usage and snaps played. But Saquon Barkley, I think, can be in that same range as Todd Gurley, Le'Veon Bell, and David Johnson, where there's just never a reason to take him off the field because he's actually a really good pass protector.
Right.
And he's also obviously excellent in the passing game, led all NCAA running backs last year in receiving yards and yards after the catch.
It's not that Devontae Freeman had a bad year last year, but you certainly saw his production dip, and maybe it's the offensive coordinator change. Where do you view Freeman right now, especially with what – and he missed a couple of games last year. It wasn't a lot. I think he only missed two games last year. Where do you view and how do you view Freeman, especially after the dip in production we saw a year ago?
I still have him as a top 20 overall pick. I have him as the RB11 right now in my rankings. When he and Tevin Coleman were healthy last year, he averaged 16.5 touches per game, and Tevin Coleman averaged 10.7 touches per game. So I think that that's what you should be expecting in terms of usage. He's right on the fringe of being, you know, a running back one, running back two in fantasy. The Falcons' offense, you know, it's weird. They finished top three in the NFL in yards per drive and yards per play last year, but they struggled in the red zone, and they didn't score as many touchdowns. They fell from number one in the NFL in scoring to number 15 in the NFL scoring. And, you know, they in the first year of Kyle Shanahan, it was similar. Their offense was okay, but they were bad in the red zone. So, my hope is that they can have some, like, sort of positive regression back to the mean with their scoring, because their offense is good. They just need to, you know, get the ball in the end zone more. Last year, you know, the best player on the Falcons from a fantasy standpoint was often Matt Bryant, their kicker, because they were kicking so many field goals. I just think they're going to score more touchdowns this year. I think that Julio's going to score more than three. I think that Devontae Freeman can score more touchdowns. I think that Matt Ryan is a good bounce-back candidate. And I've been buying up the Falcons' offense because they're coming at discounts because of recency bias.
Right.
And so they're an offense that I like to take, at quarterback, running back, and receiver.
Maybe I'm being biased here when I say this. When I try to make a list of sleepers I have in mind, one is a Jet, and I'm a Jet fan, and that's Bilal Powell. I think Bilal, even though he's up there in age and he's getting up there, I look at him. I don't know if Crowell's going to have that many carries on this team. Bilal can catch the football, especially on checkdowns if Sam Darnold's playing. What's your view on Bilal?
I'm with you on Bilal Powell, and he's real, real cheap. I mean, you know, no one really wants to take him. You could get him 13th, 14th, 15th round. He's run ahead of Isaiah Crowell so far in the preseason. And then Isaiah Crowell suffered a concussion. He's back now. And that was his first ever concussion in the NFL. But I think that Bilal Powell, I think he can very much be an even timeshare. I think that he's a better receiver than Isaiah Crowell. And I think that this offense is going to surprise people. I also really like Robbie Anderson. He should be the clear number one. And then in two quarterback leagues, I mean, I think that Sam Darnold is going to surprise people. I like the OC, man. I like Jeremy Bates. His offense can scheme players open. And that's scary when you're talking about a guy like Robbie Anderson, because he can already get open on his own.
So how do you rank the top four guys? You go Gurley one. How do you rank the top four guys in your mind?
Yeah, I have Todd Gurley as the number one. Led the NFL in touchdowns last year, led the NFL in yards from scrimmage, was second among all running backs behind Alvin Kamara in receiving yards. And he brings back all five offensive line starters. Le'Veon Bell, I have number two. You know, he's going through this holdout again. That's a mild concern. He did that last year. He kind of started slow, but I think he's going to be fine. And then number three, Ezekiel Elliott. And I go back and forth on Ezekiel Elliott versus David Johnson. With Ezekiel Elliott, you have the better offensive line.
Right.
With David Johnson, you have a guy who's averaged almost six targets per game as a starter. Ezekiel Elliott has only averaged 2.3 targets per game as a starter. So it kind of depends on what league you're in. You know, if you're in a full PPR league, might want to lean toward David Johnson. If you're in a standard or 0.5 PPR, Ezekiel Elliott, I think, is a slightly better pick.
Interesting. Good stuff, Evan. I appreciate you coming on. Thank you very much, pal.
Thanks so much, man.
Thank you, man. Evan Silva, Roto-World senior editor. You can read his trademark matchups column every Friday during the season on rotoworld.com and hear him every week on the Roto-World football podcast. I lean towards Gurley 1, Bell 2, Zeke 3, Johnson 4, so very similar. If this was a different time, I'd be worried about the Bell holdout, but Holdouts don't always have the impact we think it does. You just look at the track record of it. I mean, look at Aaron Donald last year. Yeah, that holdout really affected him. So I think Le'Veon, this has become old hat. I don't think it's going to affect him that much.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.